Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Total Energy Services Inc. 2014 fourth quarter and year-end results conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Daniel Halyk, President and Chief Executive Officer of Total Energy Services Inc. Please go ahead, Mr. Halyk.
Thank you and good afternoon. Welcome to Total Energy Services fourth quarter and year-end 2014 conference call. Present with me this afternoon is Yulia Gorbach, our Vice President of Finance and Chief Financial Officer. We will review with you Total's financial and operating highlights for the 3 and 12 months ended December 31, 2014. We will then provide an outlook for our business and open up the phone lines for any questions. I would ask Yulia to review our financial results for the 3 and 12 months ended December 31, 2014.
Thank you, Dan. During the course of this conference call, information may be provided containing forward-looking information concerning Total's projected operating results, anticipated capital expenditure trends, and projected drilling activity in the oil and gas industry. Actual events or results may differ materially from those reflected in Total's forward-looking statements due to a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors affecting Total's business and the oil and gas industry in general. These risks, uncertainties, and other factors are described under the heading Risk Factors and elsewhere in Total's most recently filed annual information form and other documents filed with Canadian provincial securities authorities that are available to the public at www.sedar.com. Our discussions during this conference call are qualified with reference to the notes to the financial highlights contained in the press release issued earlier today. Unless otherwise indicated, all financial information in this conference call is presented in Canadian dollars. Total Energy results for 3 and 12 months ended December 31, 2014 reflect higher revenue and net income than 2013, generally due to higher revenues in all business divisions arising from increased customer demand and high equipment utilization. For the fourth quarter of 2014 compared to the fourth quarter of 2013, revenues increased 39% to $121.1 million as compared to $86.9 million in the prior period. The revenues are broken down as follows. In contract drilling services, the revenue reported from Total's contract drilling services division, Chinook Drilling, decreased by 11% for the 3 months ended December 31, 2014, to $16.2 million compared to $18.3 million for the same period in 2013. Chinook had 755 operating days on a spot-to-release basis during the 3 months ended December 31, 2014, as compared to 881 days for the 3 months period ended December 31, 2013. Rig utilization during the fourth quarter of 2014 averaged 49% on spot-to-release basis, as compared to 60% for the same period in 2013. The decrease in operating days and revenues for the fourth quarter of 2014 compared to 2013 was due to an anticipated and substantial reduction in the drilling program of a significant customer. The short notice received did not provide sufficient time to remarket the idled rigs. Revenue per operating day received for contract drilling services for the 3 months ended December 31, 2014, increased by 4% as compared to the same period in 2013. The changes in revenue per operating day were due primarily to increased day rate pricing and the mix of equipment operating. This division had operating earnings of $4.3 million for the 3 months ended December 31, 2014, as compared to $5.5 million for the comparable period in 2013. In rentals and transportation services, the revenue reported from Total's rentals and transportation services division increased 22% for the 3 month period ended December 31, 2014 to $36.3 million as compared to $29.7 million for the same period in 2013. The revenue increase was due primarily to high equipment utilization for a slightly larger fleet of equipment. Average utilization of rental assets was 44% for the three-month period ended December 31, 2014, as compared to 43% for the same period in 2013. This division exited the fourth quarter of 2014 with approximately 10,000 pieces of rental equipment and 109 heavy trucks, as compared to 9,700 rental pieces and 100 heavy trucks in the fleet at December 31, 2013. This division had operating earnings of $8.6 million for the 3 months ended December 31, 2014, as compared to $6.7 million for the comparable period in 2013. In compression and process services, the revenue reported from total compression and process services division increased by 76% for the 3 months period ended December 31, 2014, to $68.6 million as compared to $39 million for the same period in 2013. The revenue increase from the prior year comparable periods was due primarily to increased customer demand and expanded manufacturing capacity. Utilization for the compression rental fleet was 89% for the 3 month period ended December 31, 2014, as compared to 87% for the same period in 2013. On a consolidated basis, EBITDA increased 27% to $29.3 million in the fourth quarter of 2014, or 85 cents per share diluted, from $23.2 million in the fourth quarter of 2013, or 67 cents per share diluted. Cash flow increased 26% to $30.3 million in the fourth quarter of 2014, or 88 cents per share diluted, from $24 million in the fourth quarter of 2013, which was 69 cents per share diluted. Net income increased 24% to $13.3 million, or 42 cents per share diluted in the fourth quarter of 2014, from $10.7 million, or 34 cents per share diluted in 2013. For the 12 months ended December 31, 2014, compared to 12 months ended December 31, 2013, revenues increased 26% to $428.1 million compared to $339.6 million. The revenues are broken down as follows. In contract drilling services, the revenue reported from Chinook Drilling increased by 11% for the 12-month period ended December 31, 2014, to $62.4 million as compared to $56 million for the same period in 2013. Chinook had 3,038 operating days on a spot release basis with 17 rigs for the 12-month period ended December 31, 2014, representing a utilization rate of 51%. This is compared to 2,814 days with 16 rigs, or 48% utilization for the same period in 2013. Revenue per operating day for 2014 increased 3% relative to 2013 due to increased day rate pricing and the mix of equipment operating. In rentals and transportation services, the revenue reported from Total's rentals and transportation services division increased by 15% for the 12-month period ended December 31, 2014, to $124.8 million as compared to $108 million for 2013. Average utilization of the rental assets was 41% for the year ended December 31, 2014, as compared to 38% in 2013. In compression and process services, the revenue reported from Total's compression and process services division increased 38% for the 12 months ended December 31, 2014 to $241 million compared to $174.7 million for 2013. Utilization for the compression rental fleet was 89% for the year ended December 31, 2014 as compared to 86% for 2013. At December 31, 2014, this division had approximately 45,000 horsepower of compression on lease as compared to 43,900 horsepower at December 31, 2013. At December 31, 2014, this division had fabrication sales backlog of $108 million as compared to backlog of $60.1 million as of December 31, 2013. On the balance sheet comparing December 31, 2014 to December 31, 2013, total assets increased 15% to $595.9 million as compared to $518.8 million at December 31, 2013. Net debt, which equals convertible debentures plus long-term debt plus obligation under finance leases plus current liabilities minus current assets, remained at nil on December 31, 2014. Shareholders' equity increased 12% to $382.1 million at December 31, 2014 versus $340.6 million at December 31, 2013. Working capital increased 12% to $82.3 million at December 31, 2014 versus $73.5 million at December 31, 2013.
Thank you, Yulia. 2014 began with optimism and ended with caution. Drilling and completion activity levels in Western Canada steadily improved during the year as compared to 2013 until a substantial decline in global oil prices began in the fall. This oil price decline initially gave rise to uncertainty, but as it accelerated during the first part of 2015, it gave rise to substantial cuts to planned capital expenditure levels by oil and natural gas producers. Western Canadian drilling activity during the first quarter of 2015 has seen a substantial decline as compared to 2014, as well as historical winter drilling activity levels. While completion and production activity has held up better, drilling activity is generally seen as a leading indicator for such activity. As such, Total Energy expects that 2015 will be a challenging year for the energy services industry, and we have taken steps to right-size our operations in response to reduced customer demand, particularly in the contract drilling services and rental and transportation services divisions. While the challenging industry environment is expected to weigh upon the compression and process services division, a record fabrication sales backlog at the end of 2014, as well as a lower Canadian dollar, provides some measure of support for 2015 activity levels. While 2014 witnessed an increase in Western Canadian oil and natural gas industry activity levels, which in turn contributed to improved financial results for Total Energy, continued uncertainty over the state of the global economy continued to weigh somewhat on industry sentiment. In this environment, Total Energy attempted to strike the right balance between growth and preservation of financial strength and capacity. During 2014, Total Energy invested approximately $91.2 million into new capital equipment and infrastructure to support the continued growth of the company. Offsetting this investment was $32 million of cash proceeds from the sale of capital assets, primarily natural gas compressors sold from the compression rental fleet. In addition to investing in the future growth of the company, during 2014, Total Energy returned $19.4 million, or approximately 63 cents per share outstanding at year-end, to shareholders in the form of dividends and share buybacks. $11.9 million was invested in the purchase and cancellation of 595,100 common shares, or just under 2% of the issued shares at the beginning of 2014, pursuant to the company's normal course issuer bid. $7.5 million of dividends were paid to shareholders. Total Energy's capital investment program, share buybacks, and dividends were all paid with cash on hand, such that the company remained bank debt-free throughout the year. All three of Total Energy's divisions continued to grow during 2014. Despite ongoing weakness in North American natural gas prices, Total Energy's Compression and Process Services division achieved significant growth during the year. Divisional revenue for 2014 was a record $241 million, an increase of 38% from 2013. And this division exited the year with a record fabrication sales backlog of $108 million as compared to $60.1 million at the end of 2013. Despite marginally higher equipment utilization, the company's rentals and transportation services division increased divisional pre-tax income for 2014 by over 13% as compared to 2013 due to a slightly larger equipment fleet and economies of scale. Competition in this business remains strong and limited our pricing gains despite generally higher activity levels on a year-over-year basis. Within the contract drilling services division, improved activity levels over the first 9 months of 2014 contributed to improved year-over-year financial results as compared to 2013. As mentioned earlier, the decrease in drilling rig utilization during the fourth quarter of 2014 as compared to the prior year was due to the sudden and unexpected decrease in a significant customer's drilling program. A primary objective for our contract drilling services division is to take active steps to diversify its customer base as we come out of the current drilling slowdown. And in that regard, I'm pleased to report that some progress is beginning to be made insofar as our newly constructed 18th rig has just commenced operations with a new customer in Northeast British Columbia. In January, Total Energy announced a preliminary 2015 capital budget of $13.6 million. The expenditure of this budget is almost entirely discretionary, and no substantial capital expenditure commitments have been made to date under such budget. With over $82 million of positive working capital, including $7.7 million of cash at the beginning of the year, and no bank debt, Total Energy will look to utilize its balance sheet strength during 2015 to pursue investment opportunities that will build long-term and sustainable shareholder value. All of our capital assets are free and clear, including our land and buildings. Our land and buildings have a net book value of $49.9 million at year-end, and in February, we received a third-party opinion that estimates the current market value of such real estate portfolio to be at least $105 million. Total Energy's substantial tangible asset base will provide us with the opportunity to refinance the $69 million of convertible debentures that come due on March 31st, 2016 in a very cost-effective and non-dilutive manner, and we are currently exploring several options in that regard. Our sustainable dividend policy has always been based on a pragmatic view of the nature of the Canadian energy services industry, an industry that is both capital intensive and cyclical, and one that requires balance sheet strength at all times to ensure that business decisions, such as product and service pricing, are made for the right business reasons and not simply to generate cash to maintain an otherwise unsustainable dividend. The current industry downturn reinforces our commitment to such a dividend policy. As such, no changes are required. Despite entering an undoubtedly difficult period for North American energy services companies, Total Energy remains open for business. We are ready, willing, and able to invest in our business so as to continue to provide our customers with quality equipment and high levels of service. While difficult times reinforce the need for focus and discipline, they do not prevent stable organizations from continuing to improve and grow. I would now like to open the phone lines for any questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time. If you have a question, there will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Scott Treadwell from TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Afternoon, guys. I wanted to actually just focus on the compression arm. Pretty impressive step up in backlog there. I know you typically don't like to give out a bunch of detail. Was that the result of just ongoing success across the board, or was there a big order or something sort of more momentous in the quarter that came to pass?
You know, without getting into specifics, I think we continue to be a solid number two player in Canada. Definitely, we're seeing our international business become a little more significant, and we did receive some nice large orders.
Okay, perfect. And then just sticking with the compression side, one of the other competitors talked about the beginning of some cancellations and deferrals. Have you seen anything like that yet in your backlog to date, or, you know, maybe with forecast work in the service or rental side?
Within the compression process side, our backlog's holding up well. Certainly, we're working with customers more to manage delivery times. That's not all bad for us. We're certainly, you know, able to manage our workforce in a way that is helpful and, you know, protect and maintain, I'd say, the A-team. These are, you know, unlike, say, drilling rig take-or-pay contracts, these are very detailed contracts where we then go out and procure equipment and raw materials. So the contract cancellation experience is fundamentally different in that business, say, to a take-or-pay contract in the drilling rig business. You know, that said, we work with our customers, but overall I'm pleased with how things are going on the order front there.
Okay. The only other question I wanted to ask on compression was just trying to kind of calibrate how 2015 might look. Would it be a fair calculation if I took the year-end backlog at 2013 and subtracted that from your sort of year-end revenue, your total year revenue of 2014, would that be a good sort of breakdown of sort of, you know, backlog or contracted purchase order work versus sales and service that's more maybe transactional?
You know, I've never done that, so I couldn't answer yes or no. I think our business today is materially different than it was, you know, a year and 4 months ago. Obviously, we've opened a new shop in first quarter of 14, which has provided us with incremental capacity, efficiencies that came with that. The other thing is the all of our backlogs are net of percentage of completion. So that's revenue that's not been recorded yet. So that skews things a little bit. But the $108 million will fall into 15, absolutely. None of it's been recorded in 14. The final point I'd make is our parts and service within our compression group is much larger. And again, you know, we're in new territory here. And, you know, as we go into new territory, your guess is probably better than mine. Obviously, macro environment drives things, but you know, as we continue to grow that business, we're learning as much as you are in terms of what we can expect, you know, on a go-forward basis. So, as per usual, I'm not going to give forecasts. The $108 million backlog within compression and process, you know, provides us with a good degree of stability coming into the year. You know, we're seeing continued demand, albeit, you know, the current market obviously is going to weigh on things. But certainly, you know, we're aligned with some major players in both fronts. And, you know, as our customers continue to need equipment, we'll be there to provide it for them. So time will tell how much they need and how much they want to service it.
Okay, perfect. Last one for me, specifically, I guess, on the rental side, but probably a bit more of a general question. With now being kind of through the winter, and I would suggest Q1's probably been below everyone's expectations, and for some people, meaningfully so. Have you seen a change in the mindset of your potential acquisitions if you're out there on the hunt? The smaller guys, maybe people who have some segments that maybe aren't material to them that might be might find a better home under the Total umbrella. Have you seen a change in mindset yet, or is it still a little bit early to see? I don't know if I call it panic, but certainly some change in the mindset on the seller side.
Well, first of all, I want to say I'm very happy with our leadership group within that division. We've done some rationalization. We have the A team in place, both in terms of field and Calgary sales. And we're also getting, as I've said in the last few months, definitely more aggressive. you know, we're going into and we're already in an environment where there's going to be a lot of business failures in this area, both on the rentals and transportation side. And I'm getting a lot of opportunities presented to me. My sense right now is personally and within that division, we're focused. Things are still relatively busy for us, and we're focused on getting through till non-economic, i.e., weather spring breakup. And we're busy right now, and we're going to put our heads down and get through to spring breakup. I hear road bans are on just south of Grand Prairie today, so that's starting mid-March. That's to be expected. I expect we'll continue to see a lot of potential opportunities put in front of us, and we're going to be selective. But if this macro environment continues for any length of time, there's going to be a lot of opportunities on that front, both above and below the 49th parallel.
Okay, perfect. As always, Dan, appreciate the color. Thanks.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. The next question is from Mike Mazar from BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Oh, hey, good afternoon, guys. I got three quick ones here. First, can you remind us what the contract status is of Rig 18?
It's seasonally contracted as per our normal CODC contracts.
Okay, but so it's not on a take-or-pay contract?
No.
Okay. You mentioned, rationalizing the cost structure, et cetera. Can you quantify that at all for us in terms of what you guys are expecting to be able to cut out of the cost relative to your overall G&A?
We've never been ones to kind of have public hangings, Mike. We're doing what we need to do. You know, all I would say is at the peak of activity levels, we were probably in the 1,400 range all in. We'll be below 1,000.
Okay.
Considerably, not really considerably, but we're doing what we need to do. And, you know, the first thing is we're going to protect our core employees, and we're going to be creative in how we do that. But we're also going to rationalize our cost structure. And that's not just with employees, that's third-party suppliers. And, you know, we're asking to be more efficient. Our customers are asking us to be more efficient for them. We're asking the same for our suppliers. So, you know, we've been around now 18 years. We've been through a few cycles, and our people know what to do. Obviously, I know what's going on in detail, but it's never been our style to have public hangings. And, you know, we don't take pleasure in this, but you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So
I agree.
When Q1 comes out, you'll see where we're at. When Q2 comes out, you'll see what we're at. The one thing I will say, and we're proud of this, over 18 years, on an annual basis, we've always been profitable. On a GAAP basis and IFRS basis after tax.
Right. And then last one, maybe for Yulia, but I just more of a housekeeping thing. Debt level stayed about the same quarter over quarter, but interest was much higher, more than double. Is there something else in there?
That was, I can speak to that. We have a number of investments we put cash in, and the market value of some of those fluctuates, so that's all non-cash.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, terrific. That's it. Thanks, guys.
Returns are better, though.
Right. Yeah. All right, that's great. Thank you.
Thanks.
That's why if you look at our cash flow, it's a little bit higher than EBITDA.
Right.
There's other reasons for that, which I'm straying into territory. I should let Yulia answer. She'll club me soon if I continue.
No, it's all good.
Anyway, thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Dana Benner from AlphaCorp Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. It's John Gibson for Dana here. I just have one quick question just regarding sort of drilling utilization and pricing in Q1. I know you talked a little bit about diversifying your customer base, but I just wonder if you could give some more color on sort of what you're seeing this quarter.
I think pricing's horrible. And at the end of the day, we're seeing competitors work for prices that we simply can't get to. And we're in a position where we're in business to make money. That includes covering depreciation. We adjust our cost structures as best as we can, and we've done that. And there comes a point where you say park it. and we've deliberately parked a bunch of equipment. And so we're keeping some core activity going to maintain employment for key people, but at the end of the day, we're not going to work at a loss, and that's what it comes down to. And at some point, you know, if your customers need a price that's lower than what you need to cover your depreciation and all your other costs, someone else wants to work for that. I cannot control that, but we cannot operate on a sustainable basis in that way, and we don't need to. So we're not going to. But at the end of the day, I got to be efficient. We get that, and we run as efficient operation as any out there, but we've made a conscious decision to draw the line in the sand on where our costs are and where we can get them. And that cost structure's moved over the last few months. And so we can, and we're competitive, we know that. But there's situations that are just not rational, and I'm not going to comment beyond that, but we're just not going to go there. And good customers get that. At some point, if it's that marginal in terms of the well economics, why are you drilling?
Yeah, for sure. I guess, would it be region specific? I know you said that 18.3 is going to the northeast BC. And
I think at the end of the day, John, that you're going to see the most efficient rigs that are capable of doing the job prevail over the next several quarters. And you hear a lot about tier one, tier two, tier three. At the end of the day, our double fleet is a very good fleet. You know, we've spent 2 months getting our cost structure adjusted for where we're in. We know what our costs are on a rig-by-rig basis. And when guys start drilling again, we'll be very competitive. And I'll put some of my lighter doubles up against heavier AC rigs. And at the end of the day, it's going to come down to who can drill the well most efficiently. And so, you know, we'll see what the rig fleet does. But like I said, we have to cover all of our costs, including depreciation. The burden's on us to get our costs down, which we're doing. Once we've done that to the extent possible, once the rig fleet starts going again, coming out of breakup or whenever the ramp-up starts, I want to be better positioned customer-wise and cost-wise than we were going into this short and sudden downturn. And, you know, when you have a major customer change their program overnight, that's a tough thing when you're going into a declining market, but you get on with it, and that's what we're going to do.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you. The next question is from John Morrison from CIBC World Markets. Please go ahead.
Afternoon, all.
Hi, John.
Dan, if a customer makes a material delay, call it 12 months or more, within the compression and process division, are you pulling that out of the backlog, or when would you ultimately look at
it? I wouldn't know because we haven't had that.
Okay. So if you were to have a customer delay something more than a year, that would be something new to you, and you'd reevaluate whether it's in the backlog go forward?
Yeah, the reality is your progress payments are tied to percentage completion, so your revenue recognition. But we haven't. That's a theoretical question that I wouldn't answer because I don't know. We control, that's a theoretical that I'm not sure how to answer that.
Is it fair to say that you believe you'll realize the majority of your backlog in the next 12 months?
We have no reason not to believe that.
Okay.
In fact, sometimes cancellations are better. You can make more money. But we prefer to finish jobs, but, you know, our contracts are extensive, detailed, and very methodical. Like I said, it's just a fundamentally different business than, say, rigs. But at the end of the day, you know, our backlogs are numbers that are backed by true take-or-pay contracts, not ones that you renegotiate depending on the price of oil.
Can you give any more color on the size of the international orders that are actually in that backlog or target market where they're going to?
Not
going
to do that. If international becomes over 10% of our consolidated revenue, we'll break it out.
Okay. Has customer inquiry for rentals new rental contracts increased in the last 3 months relative to what you would have seen over the past, call it, 3 or 4 quarters?
You know, the rental business is pretty lumpy. It comes in big spurts and jolts, and I wouldn't I think the general state of the market right now is one of people figuring out what they need to do. You know, generally speaking, historically, and I wouldn't suggest, you know, the next 6 months will tell, but in a tighter market, if people need incremental compression, they tend to want to rent. That said, you know, if you're in a situation where people are shutting in production and have extra horsepower there, who knows? Flip side is our Nomad fleet's very adaptable, and, you know, that's always been a big driver for our rental business, and again, makes it easy to shut wells in too, which is the beauty of the Nomad. So I think the next 6 to 9 months will tell on the gas production side, you know, what the rental business is going to look like. You know, this has really been an oil-driven phenomenon the last 5-6 months, so we'll see how that plays out.
Would you be willing to build new rental assets for shorter-term contracts relative to what you would have expected 12 or 18 months ago, considering the market we're in?
Our view on rentals hasn't changed. We've got a fairly defined approach to that, and it hasn't changed.
Within Chinook, can you give any sense of how many rigs you're preparing to staff and market in the back half of 15 at this stage, or it's too early to tell?
We want all of them. You know, we'll see where it goes, but like I said, we're going to work to put them all to work. How many go to work remains to be seen. You know, I think, frankly, out of 3 divisions, that's going to be the toughest one because you can only do one thing with a drilling rig, drill a hole. But are we going to have no rigs working for the rest of the year? No.
Within the rentals and transportation platform, can you give any sense of where pricing has gone over the last 3 months? I realize that you don't like to give a lot of comments, but I'm assuming it's fairly aggressive in service lines, in certain service lines, and is there anywhere you're really not trying to market in those businesses because they're near cash break-even at this point?
Generally, it's gone south. Again, really depends on the area geographically and the product line, but, you know, unlike a year ago or unlike 6 months ago, in some parts we're leading that, in some parts we're not. But we are getting aggressive on pricing on a very focused and strategic basis, not only to regain market share, but also to establish our position in certain areas and welcome other people that are recent entrants to the rental business, to the realities of running a rental business in the bottom half of the cycle.
Perfect. Appreciate the color.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 if you have a question. The next question is from John Bereznicki from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, John.
I was wondering if you can kind of compare customer demand for processing equipment right now versus compression.
You know, process is such a broad area. I think generally you just get such a broader range of customer demand there. Our process group, we're very happy with what they're doing there. You know, Kelly Manti, our general manager, who we pulled out of Bidell, I don't know, it's been probably 3.5 years now, is doing a fantastic job there. You know, I don't comment on specific customers, but he's got a real blue chip customer base there, and these are long-term players that have long-term infrastructure needs. And, you know, he's building, him and his group there are building good stuff, and we see reasonably steady demand there. And it's just right. Such a broad range of equipment. You know, compression, obviously, we're very happy with how Sean and his group are running that. And we're becoming increasingly international. And, again, you know, our Nomad is a unique product for us. And, we're pretty happy with how that business being run. And again, you know, all these businesses, we're in a tougher environment. We get that. We've got to manage our businesses efficiently and pass on efficiencies to our customers, but we'll do that.
Got it. Appreciate the color. And then just a quick housekeeping question. Was Q4 CapEx a little higher than you originally envisioned? It seems so at our end, but maybe my math is bad.
No, our gross came in, what, 91.2, Yulia? 94.2 or something?
That's including the capital.
Yeah, we actually, our carryover into 15 is less than what we projected in our January CapEx announcement. So we
got it.
More of our new rig build on our balance sheet at year end. So that's probably, John, where you're where we're different. But you'll see our carry forward in 15 less, more hit our balance sheet at the end of the year.
Got it. And what would that carryover be right now at this point?
So I think, what was it, 5.6 that we said we carried over, something like that? You can drop that by $3 to $3.5 million.
Got it. Okay. That's great. All my other questions have been answered. Thanks for the color.
You're welcome.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn it back over to Mr. Halleck.
Thank you. If there's no more questions, I appreciate everyone participating in our conference call, and we look forward to speaking with you after the release of our first quarter results. And I would also invite everyone that's interested to attend our annual general meeting of shareholders on May 21st in Calgary. Thanks, and have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you. The conference call has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.